us to go into a season of consecration. Consecration. Some churches do fasting in January, but I wanted to give some notice and do some preparation. But in month of February, I'd like us to go into a season of consecration. The Bible says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. And I think we need that. We need to be closer in 2016 to God than we have ever been. Because I really believe there's going to be some things, some challenges, some things that we just don't expect. We don't expect, and we need to be ready to deal with it. And the only way I know to deal with it is to be as close as we can to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So I'm just giving you warning now. And the last Sunday of January, I'll be taking that time to present some things that I'd like us to do in February. To really seek the Lord. Seek the Lord as much as we can as a church. And we taught about prayer of agreement, and we're going to be doing that too. But this month I wanted to talk about blessings. I wanted to talk about blessings. And so our theme is blessings, and this week we're going to do obedience, which is the path to blessing. You cannot get blessed being disobedient. You cannot get blessed being disobedient. Things will go okay for a while, but you watch and see. The Bible says, mark the perfect man and look at the end of him. It's the end that matters, not how people are doing that right now. You know, David said, if I looked at the prosperity of the wicked, my foot would nearly slip. Because some people look like they're getting away with all kinds of stuff. You know, they're on easy street, but you keep watching how they end up. So today we're going to be studying obedience, because that is the path to God's blessing. And then next week, we're going to study humility, which I'm saying it's the place of God's blessing. You have to be at a place of humility to be blessed. He says he will exalt those that abase. You try and exalt yourself. He says the proud he resists, and he sees those afar off. So the place of blessing is humility. And then week three, we're going to study knowledge, understanding God's blessing. Some people get blessed and they really don't understand what's going on. And then the last week is utilizing God's blessing. To whom much is given, much is required. Some people have been given some talents, and what do they do? It's like the parable. They go and bury it. So that's the outline that we're going to try and follow for this month. Is obedience, the path to God's blessing, humility, the place of God's blessing, and knowledge. You understanding God's blessing. When you have the knowledge of God, you understand how you get blessing. You understand the laws of God. I think I taught briefly on this some time ago that God would prefer you use his laws than ask for a miracle. Because a miracle is what? Breaking of God's law. He'd rather he didn't have to break his laws, that you learn to use his laws and to stay in the flow of blessing. I was thinking about this last night, and I was thinking, when is the last time, and I'm not trying to exalt myself, I'm just telling you the truth. I thought to myself, when is the last time I actually asked God for something material? And for myself. Now, I've asked God for stuff for the church, and I've asked God, but I can honestly tell you, I haven't asked God for stuff for myself in a long time. And you know why? I haven't had to. He just does it. He just does it. You can get in a place where you are, the laws of God are working with you, and you don't have to keep asking God for a miracle. You know, God will do a miracle when there's no other way, but he'd much prefer that you work with his laws than have to keep asking him for a miracle. Now, if I do stuff to my body that I know is bad, I might need a miracle. But it didn't have to be that way. All I had to do is obey what the Bible says about how you look after this temple, right? So God will do a miracle when there's no other way. But he'd rather I eat healthy, that I go to sleep the right time. Now, I still have some issues that I got to work on there. But a lot of the things, the trouble we get into, there's nobody to point to but who? I will tell you this. I'll declare this. I may be tempting the devil, but I will never blame God. Because nearly everything, in fact, everything I can think of, has been my own choice. It was my own decision why I ended up where I ended up. So we need to understand that obedience is the path to blessing. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, this is our focus verse, it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken. What does hearken mean? Listen. If thou wilt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and in all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And here's the little two-letter word, if. We want God to do all kinds of things in our life, to fix everything, to provide for us. But his blessings are conditional on being obedient. As I said, if it's been 30 years now, they've been putting little warnings on the side of cigarette packages, right? Warning, smoking. Surgeon General says smoking can be hazardous to your health. And I just keep on chewing them down. Then, I'm going to need a miracle eventually. I'm going to need a miracle. Or if I know that if I, drink like it's going out of style, eventually I'll get cirrhosis of the liver, right? I'm going to need a miracle. So all these things are conditional upon obedience. Let's look at some examples in the scripture about how obedience brings the blessing. Genesis 27, verse 8. This is Rebekah speaking to Jacob. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Now you know the story of Jacob who took the birthright from his brother. There were two things that a father could pass on, and I taught about this. Anyone remember the two things? I've said one of them. The blessing and the birthright. The blessing and the birthright. And which one was the most important? The blessing. The birthright was just the physical. The blessing was the spiritual. He'd already taken the birthright by negotiating with his brother because he was hungry. But Esau knew that although that was a good thing, that was quite a bit he gave away, he was still saying, well, it doesn't matter. I still have the blessing. Because he was counting on receiving the blessing from his father Isaac. But we see that obedience can get you the blessing even when you don't deserve it. Even when you shouldn't get it. I heard a story on the news last night about twins. And one is born in a different year. Because, of course, one was born 5 to midnight and the other one came out in 2016. So they're going to be in different year categories. We see that although you can start off in the same circumstance as someone else, if you're obedient, you can get the blessing. You can get the blessing. I was thinking about the tax situation there. I was thinking about the tax implications. Because that first child was born in 2015, he's going to be able to claim a deduction. The 2016 child, he'll have to wait till January 2017 to get that one on the tax rolls. But let me tell you this, although Jacob was born second, God had already decided from a nation point of view that who he was going to bless. But still, it was conditional on obedience. Conditional on obedience. Obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids. Now, you see, in the Old Testament, I've said so many times and taught, God sets up little models. And some of you probably have heard me teach this part before. But she told him to go get two kids. Two kids of the goats. Now, if you were to search for that phrase, you would find that that is the atonement offering. Right? Go and get two kids. Exodus, I think, chapter 12. Go and get two kids of the goats. Remember now, what was the high priest going to do? He was going to lay his hand on one of the goats, and it was going to become the sin offering or the scapegoat, and the other goat was going to be killed. So we see God setting up a model of obtaining the blessing through obedience. Go and get two goats. Now, if you think about it, and you all know the story, she was going to take some of the hide from the goat to cover his arms, right? Because his brother was a hairy man. And she knew that when he went before the father, he was going to feel his arms and say, wait a minute, this isn't my son Esau. But think about it. She would have only needed one to do that. So you can see that God was setting up a model. There was two kids of the goats. So there was a sacrifice made here in order for Jacob to do what? Obtain the blessing. There had to be a covering provided for him, for the father to give him the blessing. And it was only obtained through his obedience. He could have said, well, no, you know, I don't think this is going to work, Mom. He's gonna find out it's not me, and then I won't get the blessing. But sometimes God tells us to do stuff that doesn't make any sense. But all we have to do is be obedient. Moses, I want you to strike the rock one time. In the Old Testament, when God used people, he was setting up models. He told Moses, only do it one time because I want to model. I'm going to use you, Moses, to set up such a fantastic fulfillment in the New Testament that the Messiah was only going to be crucified one time. That's why God was so mad with him. Because this destroyed such a beautiful model that Christ should only have been crucified, what? One time. That's why when God speaks to us and tells us to do stuff, we should listen. We should listen. There's so many times you use this phrase, I wish. Anybody ever use that? I wish I had, or I wish I hadn't. We use those two phrases so many times. We see here, though, that Jacob obeyed his mother. Obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats. And that is so specific. Go to Exodus 12, and I believe, and you'll find that's the exact same phrase that was God told them for the atonement, for the covering, for a prefiguration for Israel to get the blessing. Who was Israel? Jacob. Do you see that? Do you see that? God was setting up a model here. For Israel to get the blessing to be forgiven and the atonement ceremony, God told them, you have to take two kids of the goats. When we studied Bethlehem and the sin, the morning and evening sacrifice, we kind of see that played out in the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice. The only way for Jacob to have obtained the blessing, which he did not deserve, he was the second son, was for obedience. God, in his grace and his mercy, has told us some commands that if we're obedient, even though we don't deserve it, even though we don't merit it, even though we weren't the firstborn, we can still obtain it. But it's done through obedience. Go now to the flock. Fetch me from thence two kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father. So in the model, an innocent lamb died. There was a blood sacrifice. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. See, there's a few words there that I thought we should look at. Obey. Obey. He's kind of discredited now, but Bill Cosby had a very funny thing about the word obey. I don't know if any of you remember it. Obey. He says it's a strange-sounding word. Well, in Hebrew, the word is shema, and it means to listen, to yield, to submit. That's what it really means. She said, listen, submit to my counsel because I'm going to tell you how you're going to get the blessing. There's so many times we try everything but the truth. We keep doing the same old thing and expecting something different. But until we yield, till we obey what God wants, we will not get the blessing. Genesis 27, 21, and Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother's Esau hands, so he blessed him. He got the blessing, although this was through deceit. God was still using this to show a model that even though we didn't deserve God's blessing, if we're covered, if we are covered under the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, when the Father feels us, you're covered. You're covered. I'm going to start giving you the blessing. You don't deserve it. You're not Israel. But you've got the blessing. You were obedient. There was a blood sacrifice. Genesis 27:9. And let's go down to verse 16. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands. We see this going all the way back to Genesis, because when Adam and Eve sinned and were naked, God provided a covering. The only way you're going to come to God is if you have his covering, or else you're going to die. You need his covering. And we see all these models in the Old Testament that the only way blessing came was through obedience, providing for a covering. Now, I said sometimes when God tells us to do stuff, it makes no sense. It doesn't give us any kind of intuition. My children, at least one of them, doesn't understand. Well, he may now, but at first didn't understand why I wanted to move back to Milwaukee. You have everything right here. You have a nice house. You got everything situated. And maybe I didn't understand at the time. But all you need to do is be obedient. It's obedience that's why I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you that God provides for me. Because I'm trying. I'm not perfect. But I'm trying to be obedient. I'm trying to, God has said, you cannot give up anything for me that I can't replace 100-fold. You can't give up houses or land. And I'm not going to give you my testimony on how the Lord allowed us to keep the house and wiped out $32,000 of mortgage. But God was trying to show me, because you stepped out in faith, I'm still going to give you. And I can tell you, I can't remember the last time I prayed for something for myself. Maybe my wife can remember. Because I don't. Because he just provides. Now, I do pray for the church, and I pray for God to bless our finances. But I can honestly tell you, I have not asked God for. And if I died tomorrow, I'd die happy. I can tell you there's nothing I need. There's things I want, but there's nothing I need. There's nothing I need, because God is my sustenance. Look at Abraham. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt. And in the King James Version it says tempt, but it's really test. God will test you. You know why? Why will God test you? Because he wants to use you. That's why God will test you. If you're going through some testing now, it's because God wants to use you. But he's not going to use anything he's not sure of. He's got to be sure of you. He's got to be sure that you can stand what it is he wants you to do. And he said, take now thine son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And you know I'm old because I keep telling you the same story, so I won't tell you the same story about the guy who fell off the cliff and is hanging off the edge and it's pitch black, and he says, is anyone up there? And they say, yes. And he says, can you help me? And they say, yes. And he says, what do you want me to do? Let go. And he says, is anyone else up there? Right? Told it anyway. But that's us, isn't it? As long as the command goes along with what we want to do, we'll accept it. But if it doesn't meet our logic, I think I'll ask for a second opinion, Sister Joanne.
Praise the Lord. It was a time that we were all at a winter conference, and the Lord just spoke so clear. The man of God was preaching, and he's telling me exactly, and I'm like, nah, God, give me a sign. And constantly, an altar call was called. I ran down to Sister Yvonne. I said, I believe the Lord is trying to save some, but I don't understand. And it just didn't make sense to me. And then it's like, I just fell out in the spirit, and she's constantly saying the same thing, and the man is still saying something. I said, I need a sign. I'm like, Gideon, keep talking to me. I don't know. So I got up, and I just sat down on the corner. Sister Yvonne was talking to Pastor, talking to her, explaining what had happened. And Pastor just came over. He rebuked me, and he wasn't sweet about it. He said, you want a sign? And I didn't tell nobody I wanted a sign. This was between me and God. And he said, you want a sign? I'm looking at Sister Yvonne like, he yelling at me. He said, do you want a sign, Sister Henriquez? I said, yes. He said, where are you sitting? And I was sitting on the side. And I said, I'm sitting right here. He said, you want a sign? And on the sign, it flipped it up. He said, reserved for the deaf and hard of hearing. And I was sitting right there. And my sign was, you hard-headed and you don't listen. And so I just thank God that if you ask him, he will tell you. Amen?
I actually had a very similar experience to this message yesterday when I was at work, and I guess there was something that was going on at work where we have to normally like rotate and everything, and everybody has to get a chance to be to lifeguard and how that happens. And so what happened was I didn't want to go and work pretty much. I wanted to relax and chill in the hot tub and everything, you know, and just relax. And the Lord told me, he said, get up, and he said, work. And I started to do the slide and everything. I was having a lot of fun, you know. And then that happened, and it was crazy because the Lord allowed me to do that just so I could work, even though I didn't want to. So he made me do something I didn't want to. I guess the Lord, like, we have a relationship, you know, and he kind of psyched me out a little bit, you know. He made me do something that I didn't want to do to eventually get something that he wanted me to do, you know. And just to tell anybody that if you want this, you got to, like, get a relationship with the Lord before anything can happen.
Amen. So God will sometimes tell you to do things that you don't understand. My dad used to tell a story about a guy working on a construction site, and it was a skyscraper they were building, a big 20th floor building, and they had scaffolding all the way around, and there were some people working on the ground floor. And one of the guys suddenly heard a voice, and it said, move from under. And he looked up and said, what? All he had to do was obey. You hear something, move from under, means you get out of the way. You don't start saying, what? So you can imagine what happened. Sometimes we disobey God because it doesn't make sense to us. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. Jesus said about 3.5 years before his crucifixion, he said, you got to eat my body and drink my blood. And it made no sense to 60 of his disciples. They said, well, you know, this is a bit much. We know he does miracles, but we can't. That's a bit too far. And Jesus didn't give an explanation either. He just turned to Peter and said, will you guys go too? They had to learn to trust him, even though it made no sense. A lot of times when there are things, let's call it things in churches, and you have schisms and splits, it's usually because, or at least in my experience, people don't trust the pastor. Let me just be plain. They think he's not handling a certain situation, and they don't trust him. They don't give him the rope to handle the situation. Why doesn't he fix this? Why didn't he say that? Why didn't he? You know, they don't trust the pastor. And come to find out, he's handling it, but it's not something he's going to broadcast to everybody. Jesus told the disciples, the other disciples, he didn't explain what he meant. He just said, okay, you other 12, you're going to leave too? They had to wait, as I've said so many times, until the night when he took the bread and broke it and said, this is my body that was broken for you. And I've said, so they must have all gone, oh, that's what he meant. If you will persevere, you will understand. But sometimes when the block is falling on your head, you just need to obey. You need to get out the way. You don't start saying, why should I move? You'll find out, but it'll be too late. Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering. You know what's, I guess, maybe not surprising, but you don't hear any question like, what? Why? Lord, you just gave me this son. How can I do this? Abraham had such faith, and that's why he's called the father of faith, right? You don't hear not even a question. And he knew, too, that he couldn't tell anybody. Sometimes when God tells you something crazy, that's right. You start telling somebody, they're going to start saying, that makes no sense. Well, God didn't tell them. God told you. It's not going to make any sense to them. It may not make sense to you either. Why are you telling me to move from under? Oh, okay. He could not have told his wife, because surely Sarah would have said, she laughed when she heard the first prophecy. She'd have cried this time.
And that's why you have to make sure that you have the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name in order to have a relationship with him yourself. Because once you are sure that you are covered by him and you have that relationship with him, then you are able to communicate with God for your own self. And you'll know already what God is telling you, even though, you know, somebody else might not believe it or might not understand. The Bible says he will not hold anything from them who walk upright before him. And he says that it's better than a sacrifice. Obedience, being obedient to God, no matter how the situation look, but just being obedient to God, and it's better than a sacrifice. So no matter what you give up or offer on behalf of God, being obedient to him is going to be better than whatever you've given up.
Amen. 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 So God sometimes gives revelation. Jeanette? Okay, sorry.
Oh, I just wanted to say, when we were praying earlier, the Lord was showing me, I just had such peace in my mind. He was bringing me into his presence, and the thought came to me that we can come into his presence because of the blood. We're not worthy, but because of the blood. And then you start preaching it, because of the blood, because we need to be born again, that's why we can come into his presence.
Amen. I mean, and that all comes down from obedience. Obedience. Amen. Sister Sunita, sorry.
I just wanted to say it is the truth when God show you something to not tell nobody, because one time I needed to talk to Sister Brownie and Pastor, and it was a situation that I was wavering in my heart to talk to them about, and I asked God, I said, Lord, please give me a sign and let me know that I should talk to them about this situation. And I saw, like, before my car, like a green light, look like footsteps going, and I told somebody that was sitting next to me, I was like, do you see that? And then they was like, nah, you probably, y'all eyes probably playing tricks on you. So when they said that, it disappears, so you can't tell everybody everything.
Amen. No, you can't tell everybody anything. Sometimes if it's a personal message, and this is where you have to have the Holy Spirit, because otherwise you can't tell whether it's the voice of God or not. Sister Deborah. Amen. We're getting good feedback today. Sister Deborah. That's okay. Amen. 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 Well, amen. I know that if all of us were honest and we say, who, if we had a chance and the opportunity to be somewhere else other than Milwaukee right now. I know when I came here, Sister Johnny, she was headed to Florida several times, weren't you? You almost went several times, but the Lord just kept closing that door. And if we go by just the reputation of Milwaukee and what you read in the statistics, you know, when people ask me, I always call this place Pergamos. Satan's seat. But the Bible says where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. So there's a purpose why we are here. Even if we in our flesh could be, you know, 100, 200, 300, 400 miles away somewhere else, it's not my choice. But, you know, Jesus said, not my will. Obedience will bring you a blessing. Sister Johnny.
I kept telling myself I'm going to Florida, but
Amen. Amen. See, as I said, if we really were to take an inventory, there'd be a lot of people who wouldn't be in Milwaukee. But just like Esther, you're here for just for such a time as this. As such a time as this, how can the world be seasoned without the salt? The Bible said that we are the salt. And so if there's a place that needs the light of the world, that needs Jesus, it's right here. Amen. So Abraham didn't even question that. You don't even hear him say anything. He just goes through with it. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abram out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. This is when Abraham receives the spiritual blessing, that in blessing I will bless thee. You know what that's speaking about? Multiplication. 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 When you are obedient to God, there's almost nothing he will withhold. No good thing will he withhold when he sees your heart. Solomon, I'll give you anything. Now, which of us would have asked for money? Come on now. Did you mean anything, God? Anything? 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 Let me see. Now, let me see. Let me start counting it up. Let me see. 500,000 for this, 1,000,000 for that. Because thou hast obeyed my voice. He did not question God. The Bible doesn't record Abraham saying, why? Or wait a minute, God, wait a minute. You made a mistake, God. You know that's what we tell God? You said it. No, God, that's not what you want me to do. Here's what you want me to do. You want me to go back to my nice house in Riverbend that's every time I go past it is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Nice wood floors, four bedrooms, almost 3,000 square foot, where I could be seeing the river right now. You know, I'll tell you the truth. When I went to Benton Harbor the last time, we didn't even drive by it. We did not even go look at it. We were only a block away, and we just didn't even drive by the house because that's not my life anymore. That's not where I'm headed. The Bible says that if, in Hebrews, it said, if they had thought about the land from where they came from, they had opportunity to do what? Go back. But they were obedient to the call. You want blessing. You want blessing so you don't even have to ask God for blessing. You start being obedient. That's the pathway to blessing. You don't get blessing by going down to the lotto store and thinking you're going to get the 300 and whatever it is million. I personally don't believe you'll ever get it. The only way you get the blessing of God is through obeying his voice. And we'll see something in the Bible that when God says blessing, the first time that is mentioned, it's in association with being fruitful and multiply. As a Christian, we all say we're Christian, right? How do we know if God's blessing us? Is it in money? No, not necessarily. Paul, the great apostle, said, I've learned, you have to learn this sometimes, to be content in whatever circumstance I find myself, right? That's not something you're born with, you learn that. When you trust God, when you're obedient to him, you learn he's got this. Yes, you may be in a shipwreck. Yes, a snake might bite you, but you're not going to die. And I've said it so many times, because you have a mission, because he was obedient. Because he was obedient. Look at this. And God blessed them, Genesis chapter 1, verse 22. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Genesis 28. 22 times, actually, you'll find in the Old Testament that the blessing is associated with being fruitful and multiply. So I'm going to just tell you something now. This is how you'll know where, how much blessing you're obtaining is, are you being fruitful? Are you multiplying? You'll see nearly every time God mentions blessing, it's in the association with being fruitful and multiply. Because something that's not fruitful, Jesus, when he came across the fig tree, he looked at it and had no fruit. And what happened? He cursed it. He says, from henceforth, no man. I want to be fruitful. The real test of blessing isn't whether you are driving a Lexus every year or whether you got $20,000 in the bank, but are you being fruitful? And you only get that if you're obedient. And God blessed them, verse 28, and said, be fruitful and multiply. That's to Adam and Eve. And you'll see Genesis 9:1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and to them. And he said what? Be fruitful and multiply. And I could have put 22 scriptures in the Old Testament. Blessing is always associated with being fruitful and multiplying. That's the test. It's not whether your bank account is going up. Because as David said, he's going to provide a table even in the presence of your enemies. So blessing, true blessing, is when you're truly in the will of God. That's when true blessing is, when you're in the will of God. When you know that you know that you're doing what God wants you to do. And I tell you what, if you're a true Christian, that'll give you some joy. That'll bring a smile to your face. That'll make it easy, even though it's not easy from a secular point of view what you're going through. But if you know this is what God wants you to do, he'll tell you, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Once you've gotten to that place of obedience, God will provide. He's got to. He promised. Or else the mission can't be completed. He will provide. I'll give you another little nugget here. How do you start on this pathway to blessing? Well, you got to change your environment. You can't be in the same association with the same, the world would say, losers, and expect things to change. Before God could do anything with Abraham, he first had to get him out of his environment. Before he blessed him, he said, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. And because it's past tense, I've taught before that we don't know how long it took Abraham to actually obey in this case, because it said the Lord had said. It makes it sound as if the Lord had been talking to him for a while. God has been talking to you for a while to change some things. And you're wanting the blessing before you change the environment. Right? The Lord had said to Abraham, look, I got something for you, Abraham, but you got to leave. You got to change your environment. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. That's really for week 4, because when you have been blessed, it's for a reason. It's not just for you to just absorb it, but it's so that you can be a blessing, a channel to others. And I will bless them. This is what God has promised when you're obedient. I will bless them that curse thee. I've been in many jobs where people have come against me. And you know, I had to do nothing. I just knew who I am. I know that I'm a son of the King. And no weapon formed against me. And I got to see so many times the fall of that person. So many times. I didn't even have to pray and say, Lord, deal with them. Now, my mother, if you knew my mother, she would take authority. She would just come up and point to that person and in the name of Jesus. She wasn't a big woman, but she could be fearful. She was shorter than me, but when the Spirit of the Lord was on her, she pointed at you. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. You know, I preached a message sometime. You can't curse what God has blessed. You can't do it. It won't work. Because the Bible has promised, if you're obedient, then no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Now we all say, well, that don't apply to me. I'm not in any bad environment. I'm not with any negative kindred. But your environment is more than just people. Sometimes it's your thoughts. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, I'm saying your environment could be your negative thinking. Your negative thinking could be keeping you in a place where God still can't bless you. Not because of people, but just the way you think. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Bad news travels faster than good news. Bad gossip travels faster. Did you see so-and-so? That'll travel real fast. So when you say, well, I'm not in any bad country, I'm not in Ur of the Chaldees, you may be in Ur of the Chaldees in your mind. You need to come out of that kind of thinking environment for God to bless you. Don't be looking and saying, why is God blessing that person? They've probably left the thinking country that you're stuck in. Always looking at other people. As I've said so many times, God is not going to ask you about someone else when you stand in front of him. He's going to ask you about you. Right? He's not going to ask me about somebody else. We have got to work out our own salvation. If I wasn't pastor, I tell you what, and this is very selfish. Don't say it. I'm a very selfish prayer. If I wasn't pastor, you think I'd be, this is bad, I'm just telling you my flesh, I'd be praying for me. I have to really fight to pray for all of you. Because I need help with me. I have problems with me. I don't have time to be, if I wasn't pastor, I really don't have time to be knowing all about you. Because I want to think about things that are honest, are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. I don't want to fill my mind with hearing about junk if I didn't have to. See, God is telling us, come out of that country. Leave that old, stale 2015 thinking if you want blessing in 2016. Right? You know, we look at this story and say, oh, that's Abraham. That's him. And we don't understand there's different forms of being in the bad environment. And thinking is one of them. Change your thinking environment. How are you thinking? As a man thinketh, right? And then Bible says it's from out of here comes the fruit and what you start saying. Because then, and I'm guilty of this too, I'll say negative things. In 2016, if we really want the fullness of God's blessing, we need to have maybe in February we'll have another one of those fast from certain words. Consecrate. We'll stop saying certain words. It's tough. See, when you want God's blessing, you have to be obedient. And then, we're running out of time, but believing for blessing is part of it. I just love this scripture. Romans 5:1-2. Therefore means it's a done deal. Therefore. You know, any of you in high school had to do a mathematics proof? When you got to the end of it, therefore, X plus Y equals, that's the answer. So in the Bible, when Paul says therefore, he's telling you the answer. It's a done deal. Therefore, since, past tense, we have been justified by faith, we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So believing for blessing comes from, first of all, believing in faith that we're justified. You can't have blessings from God if you don't believe God. The Bible says that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and that you must first believe that he is. That means that he exists, right? You can't come to asking for blessing if you're not justified. If you believe God is looking at you as a no good, rotten so-and-so, you will have no faith in asking God for anything or faith in receiving anything. Therefore, since, past tense, we have been justified, just as if I hadn't done it, How? By faith, by believing. I believe, although the Bible says that my sins were rotten, he has made them through his blood white as snow. He has put on that covering upon me. Therefore, I can come to the Father. I can come to Isaac. And even though I'm not Esau, I can still receive the blessing. But it's only because he believed. Through him, we have also obtained access. How do we obtain this blessing? Through faith. Faith into this grace means it's unmerited, in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's some powerful verses there. Some powerful verses for you to meditate. And I put a modern translation of faith is being sure what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It's being sure that God loves you and that in blessing, he's going to bless you in 2016. Do you really believe that? See, that's a test. Do you believe God will bless you? Or are we like the man with the son where the disciples couldn't heal him and he said, well, your disciples couldn't and maybe you can, but help my unbelief. We have to believe that God loves us before anything else will work for us. We have to believe that he has called us. Just think about these words. We have been justified by faith. We have peace. You can't have peace if you're doubting your relationship with God. Through him, we have also obtained access through faith again into this grace, into this unmerited favor, unmerited blessing. And if you really believe that, then you have joy. You can rejoice. You can thank God. You can jump. You can shout because you believe it in the hope of the glory of God. Now, what happens if you just have obedience, but you give up so quickly? Well, it didn't happen right away. Let's give you a biblical example. We know about Elisha and Elijah, the prophet. So obtaining the blessing is obedience plus perseverance. Plus, you can't give up just because something hasn't come right away. It takes perseverance. We see in the story of the wise men that they were searching for him for up to how long? 2 years. 2 years. That's crazy. That's crazy to be searching for this baby that they're not sure about except we have seen his star. But they had faith. They had perseverance. So they were able to see the Messiah. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgad. So they came to Jericho. You see what's happening is he knows Elijah's going to be disappearing. So he's going to make sure that he's going to stick with him. And it doesn't matter what Elijah keeps telling him. Hey, why don't you just wait here? Don't put yourself out. Let me tell you, if you all knew the rapture was on Thursday and we got prayer meeting on Thursday, would you be at church? Would you be at church? Boy, that's quite, you wouldn't be at church? I'd like to be praying when God comes. I'd like to be found worshiping when he comes. Elijah told him, you know, you don't have to be following me. He says, no, I'm not letting you out my sight because I want to obtain the blessing. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And you'll find that no matter where Elijah went, he didn't give up. He was told, look, if you see me, when I go, you'll get the blessing. So he said, well, I'm just going to dog you all the time. And Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here. Wait here, I pray thee. For the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So it's obedience plus perseverance will get you the blessing. When Jacob left his home and he ended up with his uncle, Laban, to get everything that he wanted, he had to work 21 years. 10 times his uncle changed the deal on him. But he was anything but not dogged. He wasn't going to leave till he got that wife that he wanted. He wasn't going to leave till he got the blessing of all his labor. 21 years he worked. When you know that God has got a blessing for you and you haven't seen it, add to your obedience perseverance. Don't give up. No matter what the road looks like, no matter how hard it may be, do not give up. I will not leave thee. Let me show you what happens when you are disobedient. Samuel 15:19. And we know the story that Samuel had told Saul that God wanted him to slay the Amalekites, and he wouldn't, you know, he should utterly wipe them out because they were going to destroy Israel. But of course, you know the story, he did not obey. Samuel 15:19. And so when Samuel came, he heard some of the animals bleeding. And he asked him, "Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil?" He took the best parts, saved the stuff. Well, God really doesn't want to destroy these things. They look so good. Well, I've had these CDs with this filthy rap stuff, and they're going to be worth something. I'm not going to listen to them, but maybe I can sell them. And Saul said to Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord." He was pretty brazen, wasn't he? "And have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But he made me do it." We always wanted to blame someone else for the situation we're in when it was our choice. "But the people took of the spoil the sheep and the oxen, the chief of the things which should have been..." See, he knew. Here he is confessing. He knew. He said they should have been what? He knew what he was supposed to have done. Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings?" And here's the scripture that you quoted. "As in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken, to listen, to yield, than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." God equates disobedience the same as if you went to the occult, if you were casting spells and dealing with... That's how God treats rebellion. "Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." So this is what happens when you're not going to get the blessing. In fact, you're going to get even more than that. You're going to be rejected. And as I said, obedience does not need understanding. It just means obedience. We went over this scripture on watch night, so I'm not going to spend a long time. When Jesus came to wash Peter's feet, "Then cometh he to Simon Peter," verse 6, "and saith, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Many times God has led me to do things or gotten into situations which did not make sense. Or he did not answer me the way I wanted him to, when I wanted him to. But it was only until after that it became clear that God had the best plan. And I told you that with the house, if God had solved the problem early and paid off the bill early, it would have been a small bill. He let it build up until it was a huge bill. Till my Lazarus was dead. But then, it's such a big a miracle. If he had healed Lazarus of pneumonia, it was just a coincidence. He'd have recovered. But once he'd been in the tomb 3 days, that's unheard of. It's unheard of. Them canceling 2 years of mortgage payments and telling you, setting your mortgage current, and then reducing your principal by $80,000 and saying, "Have a nice day." And we're reducing your payment. That is a miracle. That is a miracle. I tell you, if you're obedient and you trust God and have faith and persevere. See, at the time I didn't understand. I said, "God, why is it getting bigger and bigger and bigger?" Martha said, "If you had just been here." But Jesus said, Even now, you're going to see something. Even now. If you're obedient and persevere, even now, you can see what God can do. Amen. I'm just going to wrap this up. If you could all stand with me. I'm just going to read this. This is what will happen if we will just get some of these principles. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, that means to follow, and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. That's Milwaukee. I want to hear an amen on that one. Boy, that's weak. Come on. Blessed shall I be in the city. All right. Blessed shall thou be in the field. That's Wauwatosa. Sister Janet, where do you live? Well, Waukesha, that's definitely the field. Blessed thou shalt be in the field. Amen. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. Your children are going to be taken care of. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy ground. Your job is going to be blessed. God will preserve your company just for you. I cite Christopher. They're laying off 250 at Harley-Davidson, and he's a contract worker, and they extend his contract another year. Blessed, blessed, blessed shall be the ground and the fruit of thy cattle and the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. I tell you, there's nothing better than obeying God. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Let's give God a praise. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow thereto. The path to blessing is through obedience. There isn't no way around it. There's no, let me work it out my way, God. There's no substitute for perfect obedience. Don't be like Saul and think, well, I'll save some of the cattle and do it my way. God will still be pleased. No, he will not. And you risk rejection. You risk rejection. But when you can come before the Lord and say, Lord, I've done everything you asked me. You gave me just two talents, and look what I got. I got two more. He said, blessed, come into the joy of the Lord. You have been faithful over a little things. I'm going to make you master over many. That's the blessing of the Lord. It's being fruitful and multiply. You got two talents, make it four. Find out how you can be used in 2016 so that the blessing of Abraham will come down through you, because we are the seed of Abraham. We want God to bless this church, to bless us individually. There is the roadmap. If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, that's all you have to do. And then just read all the rest. That's God's promises. Let's bow our heads at this time. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord, let it find good soil today. Jesus, Lord, we need a blessing in 2016. Lord, we come to you, Lord, and we're going to just ask you, Lord, to help us to walk worthy of your calling, to be in your will, Lord, that you can pour down without limit, oh God, fountains of blessing on our families, on our jobs, on our houses, on our cars, Lord, that you will provide bountifully, Lord. Most of all, Lord, you will make us soul winners, that you will truly make us disciples, that will be fruitful and multiply. Jesus, we just lift up our hands in praise, and we thank you for this first Sunday, this opportunity to thank you for taking us through, for blessing us, Lord God. We give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. When God says, in blessing, I will bless thee, there is nothing that the devil